Whenever we have familiar parables in the lectionary rotation, I always wonder what new word God is going to have for me. Then I wonder what word God will place on my heart to share with you. Sometimes they are one and the same message. Sometimes they're not. Most times the message that I begin with in my reflection is not the end result that you receive. And sometimes the message I give and what you perceive from the Holy Spirit are completely different. I've even had people tell me that I said something in a sermon once, but when I went back to the manuscript, I hadn't said anything of the sort. But the Spirit was speaking to their souls. Once I was giving a particularly difficult message in another church, and this community was divided over the topic. And folks on each side of the divide thought that they had heard me support their side of the conflict. So obviously that was not one of my best sermons. But my point is, perspective is everything. What I say and what you hear might not mesh. When I give what I think is a terrible sermon, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will use that sermon in spite of me and reach you with a message that God wants you to hear. And when we think we know a parable inside and out because we have heard it so many times, we should not let ourselves be fooled. Because the beauty of this living Bible is that it has something new to say to us each time we enter its pages. And that happened to me this week when I approached the Gospel of Luke and the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But this time I heard something in Scripture I'd never heard before. Maybe you have, but I hadn't paid attention. I think we all get the gist of the parable, that God rejoices more over a changed heart and life than over someone who always gets it right. And many of us would be just like the Pharisees and the legal experts, associating ourselves with the 99. We're good people. We do the right thing the majority of the time. Right? Okay. I guess not. Maybe not. We try. But do you honestly know anyone who gets it right all the time? Of course not. I don't know anyone like that. When I was a teenager, I thought I was that person, but no. It's true that I don't have any evocative, romantic story of how Jesus turned my life around. I've not had to overcome addiction or mental or physical illness. I never ran around with gangs, even when I had the opportunity. I never committed acts of violence against anyone except maybe my baby brother when our parents weren't looking. I've always been a person with a strong sense of morality and ethics, not because I was afraid of some punitive God or going to hell or anything like that, but because my personality has always lent itself to a desire for a world with clear-cut lines of right and wrong, fair and equal order. I am such a military brat. I was made for that life. I love the order of it. But as much as someone on the outside might still point to me as a righteous person, especially since the stole was placed around my neck, it's assumed that I'm a righteous person. There is need in all of us to change our hearts and our lives. My faith has led me to question those areas of gray in our world. The reality that there are exceptions to every rule. It is my faith that has guided me to reflect on relationships that could have been attended to with much more love and care. I have a lot of smudges in my life, too. It's my faith that has invited me to wonder whether we should be striving for equality or rather giving our energy to bringing about systems of equity and someday liberation. There are days when I don't have all the answers or any answers. There are days when I don't know what to do and when I make the wrong choice, sometimes based on insufficient data. So the first message I always glean from the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep is that there are times in life when each of us will be that one wandering, lonely sheep, or that one coin that just keeps rolling, rolling away until we end up under the couch surrounded by dust bunnies. The new gift I received from these parables this week was that often we stop at the part where the sheep or the coin is found. But how often have you noticed that the same exact sentence is used after each instance? I'm reading from the Common English, but Eugene Peterson uses pretty much the same words. When the shepherd arrives home or when the woman finds the coin, they call together, both of them, call together their friends and neighbors and say, "Celebrate with me because I've found my lost sheep," or "I've found my lost coin." Or we could say, "I am found." You see, the parable is also inviting us to something special, and that is to tell our stories, to tell each other about that time when we weren't paying attention and a loved one almost got away from us, but how God helped us rescue that relationship. Jesus invites us to witness to the time when we were passed out on that couch and the Holy Spirit sent us someone who showed us that we had value, just like a precious silver coin. The gospel comes alive when we tell our own good news, when we invite people to celebrate with us about how God helped us to change our hearts and our lives. And so I would like to share with you a story of how God changed me. When I was in seminary, most of my family and friends, except for my mom and my church friends, they thought that I had lost my mind. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. I was not raised in a religious home. My mom sometimes took us to church, but we didn't read the Bible as a family. We rarely said grace, except maybe like Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. There was a brief time, about 3 or 4 years, when I was in middle school, when I was active in church, and I went through confirmation, and I became a member, and the whole nine yards. But when I hit high school, we also had moved away from that church family. That church stuff came to an end. I never really got into going to chapel on base. It never touched me. My husband at the time, not this one, was supportive of me, he said, going to seminary, because I assured him that I had no intention of becoming a pastor. It was simply a way for me to attend to my own growing spirituality. I had no intention that it would change our lives in any way. I continued working full-time while I attended seminary part-time. But as you can see, everything changed. I remember one night my husband and I were out at a bar with a bunch of friends and we were dancing and having a good time. I've never been a particularly big drinker because I don't like to lose control. See, I just can't stand chaos in my life. But it was a Saturday night, and we were out, and I had decided I also wanted to go to church in the morning with my mom because I was her ride. My mom doesn't drive because of her multiple sclerosis, so I was her ride to church. So I wanted to be there for her. So I didn't have anything to drink at all. And my husband was so drunk, he could barely stand up on his own. So I told our friends we were going home. And one of them got very angry with me because we were leaving early and that I was forcing my husband to leave while he was still having fun. I don't know how much more fun he could have stood. And I didn't want to embarrass him by telling everyone exactly how drunk he was. It was past the point of being funny, right? And I put it on myself. I said, oh, you know, I realize I'm a party pooper. I'll take it because I want to get some sleep and I want to go to church in the morning. And I'll never, ever forget what she said to me. You need to get your priorities straight. I thought I had them pretty straight. After 2 years of seminary, even though I still had no intention of becoming a pastor, my growth in my understanding of scriptures, my spiritual practices — I didn't have a spiritual practice before seminary. Are you kidding? I said my prayers before I went to bed, but usually they ended in some rambling thoughts, and I went to sleep before I said amen. I had no spiritual practice. My passion for learning about different revelations of God that have come to people over the millennia, my heart was changed. My priorities had changed. It was too much for my husband. And so we divorced while I was in seminary. And I was devastated. I felt like such a failure. I felt like I had let God down on the highest level. The covenant of marriage to me is a holy and sacred thing. It's a promise we make to each other and to God to honor and commit our lives in our own kind of holy trinity. A promise we make, a bond of love between two adults and God. And when I got divorced, I felt like I had broken covenant with God. Here I was, at the most spiritually in tune point in my life at that time, and I felt more lost than I had ever been before. But that wasn't the end of my story, praise God. Because God used my mentor, those church friends, my family, my seminary friends, even some of the people who didn't get it, they were still there for me to remind me that I wasn't lost at all. I like to think now that I was in the process of finding myself because God never lost me. God knew exactly where I was, and God was there with me among the dust bunnies. In fact, God was helping me clean out the cobwebs and move the furniture so that I could shine the way polished silver reflects the sun. God was inviting me to reflect God's love to the world, but I had to get my priorities in line. This Christian walk is not an easy road, and not everyone will come with us. There is an Afro-American spiritual that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. I knew my ex-husband wasn't going to come with me, but I also knew I still had to follow Christ's call on my life. I knew my father didn't understand and probably wouldn't come with me, but I also knew that he would love me anyway. And he came and heard me preach more than once. And I also knew that there would be a time when I would be united with the 99 other sheep who were part of this flock that Jesus had called together. I knew there would be a time when I didn't feel so alone and weird, that there were 9 other coins waiting out there for me to connect. And I have great joy because of the changes God placed on my heart and in my life. I think I even understand joy differently than I once did. I feel like it's brighter, fuller, more meaningful than much of the joy I once knew. It's more complete because now I know its source. Joy comes from the heart of God, and it is a gift of love. So, my friends, celebrate with me. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. And we all have a home in Christ's body. And then it's your turn to share your story of grace and celebration, of your experience of God's love in your life. I want to hear it. And I bet there are some stories you haven't even shared with the person sitting next to you. They want to hear it too. And you never know. It could change someone else's life. Your story of survival might become someone else's map out of the wilderness. Amen.